perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, that's like a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Let's go ahead and start off by praying and asking the Lord to help us this morning. Lord, we are indebted, Lord, to your great grace and mercy and knowledge and wisdom and all the powers that, Lord, that you've given to us through the Holy Spirit of God, the power over sin, the power over hell, the power over the grave. And it's all been made possible because of the fact that, Lord, for us that are saved, redeemed, been born again, that, Lord, our lives are now resting in Christ and his resurrection power. And that, Lord, we are so much trusting in your word this morning. We pray that, Father, your word would be an impact upon our lives. It would have an impact upon our lives. That, God, we would every single day be in it, but not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. May we not just look at the word, but may we actually do something about it whenever you reveal things to us from it, from your blessed and holy word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, when we're through difficult and struggling times, through valleys and through difficult trials, that, Lord, the word of God comes along and lifts us up and helps us, Lord, to continue on in the things that, Lord, you've called us to. Bless this dear family, Lord, the Marquez family this morning. I pray that, God, that they will soon have that 11% raised up, and that soon they'd be able to get to the goal in which you've called them to Mexico City, purchase those plane tickets, get down there, and, Lord, start serving the Lord. I know they're excited, but I know that they'll face difficulties and trials, and I pray that, Father, that in those difficult and tough times, that, God, they'll rely on you, and they'll lean heavily upon each other as they will just let them be just great friends and just love each other, Lord, through the difficult days. And may, God, you just give them a wonderful ministry there in Mexico City. May they see many souls saved and many churches started for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There was a man by the name of Andrew Young. This was some years ago, but he was the former U.S. ambassador to the UN. He was asked to give the commencement speech for the University of Maryland, and this was some time ago, as you'll see just a little bit of, advice that he gave to the students there. But upon that commencement speech, he said to the students as he was talking to them, he said, "I would encourage all of you students to buy one thing as soon as you graduate from college, and that is a Bible. And I would encourage you to read at least one chapter a day." He said, "That won't hurt you at all right?" He said, "Because in the long run, a $15 Bible is a lot cheaper than $25 an hour psychiatrist visits. The Bible will do you a lot of good." And that is so true. The Bible will do you a lot of good. It is a wonderful thing. It is not just something that we read. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at hope. And the week before that, we looked and considered on reading our Bibles and just being in the Word and thinking about the Word and studying the Word and meditating on the Word and seriously considering the Word of God. And I hope you did that. I hope that you went home and maybe really made some considerations on how long do I spend reading God's Word? Do I spend enough time reading God's Word? Do I read God's Word? Maybe I wasn't reading like I should, or maybe I was just reading a little bit, or maybe it was just a message that really got you encouraged to say, you know what, I'm going to keep reading and keep going on and keep staying with the Word because I found it to be faithful in my life. But whatever you did, I hope that you have been spending some more time in it. But I want to ask you a question this morning, something a little bit different angle. Not only should we read the Word, but let me ask you this, why should we read it? Is it a good thing to read? Would it help us to read? Is it just something that we read? And that's the main reason why I read James 1 this morning, because we're not to just be hearers of the Word, but doers also, right? He says, one that's a hearer of the Word and not a doer is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's like you waking up in the morning this morning and you seeing your hair is in such a mess. And I asked my young son last night, I was talking to them about these verses, and I said to Miles, I said, if you wake up in the morning and you see your hair is a mess, what are you going to do about it? He said, I'm going to brush it. And so that's exactly right. You're going to brush it. You're going to do something about the thing that you're seeing in the mirror. And the Bible compares to us to those that don't do something about our lives when we see what our lives really are in the mirror of the Word of God. Is like somebody waking up in the morning and not doing anything about their hair, their teeth, their physical appearance. God wants us to not just be hearers of the Word, but He also wants us to be doers. Why should I read my Bible, preacher? Well, the most important and simplest answer is this, is that you should simply read your Bible, and this is not a point, it's just a very simple answer, is because it is the Word of God, all right? It doesn't get much simpler than that. It's the Word of God, and if God took the time, the effort, the energy to write for us a book that we now call the Bible, the Holy Bible, then I think it would all do us very well to read what God has written down, right? If the all-powerful, almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, created this, if you had a dad or a mom or somebody that was very influential in your life, and whenever they passed away, they left for you, not just a will, but they left for you maybe a book or a journal, or maybe it was a letter. And maybe you didn't know about it until you had already passed away, and the executor of the will or the lawyer or whoever it is opens it up and says, I've got a letter for Matthew J. Cox right here from your dad, and it can now be read. Do you think I would not read that letter? You think I would just kind of take that letter and go, it's not a big deal. I just put that up. I'll read it later. Do you think I would? No, I wouldn't do that. I'd say, let me see that letter right now. I'd say, I want to read it right now. I want to know what that is. I want to know what he said to me. I want to know. He's not here anymore, and I don't have a chance to talk to him. I don't have a chance to communicate with him. He's in the ground. He's passed away. I want to read what my dad wrote to me. You know what? God has given to us a letter. He's given us not just a letter. He's given to us a book. It's called the Bible. And he is not just somebody that's influential, all right? He's not just somebody that's a movie star, or he's not just somebody that's a famous athlete. No, he is the maker of heaven and of earth, and he took the time to give us his holy word. That's the simplest answer why we should read our Bible. Let's pack it up and go home, and I guess lunch is ready, right? But there's more reasons. Joshua 1:8 says it very plain. He says, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then he says this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Bible declares that it's prosperous in reading it. It's prosperous in studying it. It's success. You'll be successful in meditating upon it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then we miss a very key word in that verse sometimes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then what does it say? And is profitable. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I would not preach from the Bible if I did not believe that every verse was true and profitable. Biblical preaching is simply declaring the truths from the Word of God. That's all it is. If I'm not declaring God's truths from God's Word, then I might as well change the name of our church from Scenic Hills Baptist Church to Scenic Hills Self-Help Clinic, right? Because if we're not here to get help from the Word, then your best chance is just to get self-help or maybe help from a guru or somebody else. I don't have anything to tell you this morning. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but all I've got is this old book right here that's been around for a few thousand years. And if we're not satisfied with this, we're really not going to find much help in anywhere else. This is the book, the good book, as some have called it. And the Bible must be the priority in preaching. It is the Word of God. So how does it profit me? Well, I could be here all day telling us how it profits us, of course, but let's just go over a couple of things this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119 in verse number 9. Psalm 119 in verse number 9. Let's notice one way in which God's Word is profitable to us. Now, this first point would not seem a very profitable point to my 8-year-old son, all right, or my 7-year-old boy, and I'll tell you why, because he's not much in the way of taking baths, okay? Little boys, I don't know if you ever notice, and sometimes big boys are just not in the mood of taking baths sometimes, all right? They just don't like to be bathed. But I'll tell you, the first point is this, is that the Word of God is profitable because it produces a cleaning action in our lives. It cleans us up, all right? The Bible cleans us up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It says in Psalm 119 in verse number 9, how can a young man cleanse his ways? How can he be clean? It says, listen to what it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How is a young man going to be clean? How is he going to be cleansed? How is he going to be cleaned up in life? And I don't mean taking a good bar of soap and washing behind the ears this time, okay? Or getting some shampoo or anything like that. I'm talking about morally. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about emotionally. I'm talking about every single day. How can we have our lives purified and cleansed? He says it right there, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. By taking heed, by grabbing hold of, by listening to, by doing what God has said for him to do, for you to do in the Word of God. Do you realize that starts very early in life? That starts really early in life. I'm glad whenever I hear of folks like Brother Marquez, whose dad led him to the Lord at 8 years old. I'm glad to hear of that. Not all of you had that privilege of being saved at a young age. But I'm glad to hear that. Sometimes I hear lamenting stories of children and of people that are older in life and will say things like, well, I was just saved as a young kid and I didn't really do this or I did that. No. Listen to me. If you were saved young, God may not have saved you from a life of sin, but he saved you from going into a life of sin, all right? He saved you from that, and that's a glorious thing. That's a wonderful thing. God says in his word that one of his purposes for godly parenting and godly child rearing is so that he may raise up a godly seed. God wants to raise up some godly children that haven't experienced the things of the world. God wanted to make sure that the children of Israel, when they came out of that land of Egypt, that they didn't teach their children the ways and the things of Egypt that they had learned. They didn't want them to learn those things. God didn't want them to grab a hold of those things. That's why he gave them, guess what? His own very law to live by. So that when they came out of that place, they wouldn't go back to the things in which they knew and they understood in the land of Egypt. We see the cleaning process starts early in life. Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 6 says this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, pay careful attention right here. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as a frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. God is so practical in His Word, is He not? He says, you know what you do with the Word of God? You need to post it in your house. Amen? You need to have some places in your house where the Word of God is there. It's prevalent. It's seen. It's in the corner. It's on a picture. Maybe it's a picture from Hobby Lobby that looks real nice or something like that. I don't care what it is. Make sure the Word of God is in your house. Make sure the Word of God is in front of you all the time. Now, He's not talking about spreading about your broad phylacteries. Has anybody ever read the word phylacteries in the Word of God? And you say, whoa, man, phylacteries. What's there in phylacteries? Those were that you still see Orthodox Jews doing it to this day. Little boxes on their foreheads and little boxes maybe on their hands or on their fingers. And you'll see it as you go door knocking. You'll see a Jewish house. You'll see a little thing there with a little Torah that's rolled up inside of there, or the Ten Commandments that are rolled up inside a little thing right there on the side of the door. God's not saying, hey, spread broad your phylacteries. We don't need to be wearing little boxes with the Ten Commandments on our heads or on our fingers or anything like that. What He's letting us know is let the Word of God be something that's always present before you. Let your life as a parent, as a grandparent, let it be a life that is led by the Word of God, and so much to the point that your children see it and recognize it, and everything you do, you have a spiritual, biblical application behind it. Make sure you show it to them. Give it to them. Tell them about it. Get it in their hearts. Let them memorize it. Get it on them. It starts early in life. Paul told Timothy, he told him in this in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. These are the verses right before that he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Right before he gives us that great doctrine that all Scripture is given by God's inspiration, by God breathed. Guess what he says? He says these words. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of them of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know who taught young Timothy the Scriptures? It wasn't Paul later on, though he did. It wasn't his father. His father was a Greek. Timothy was taught the Scriptures by Eunice and Lois, his grandmother and his mother. They were the ones plugging the Scriptures into this young Timothy at a very young age. And lo and behold, he would be the one that would be the one that would come right after on the heels of the great Apostle Paul. That's an amazing thought. Going back to what we said earlier and what I was saying, that God was preparing this young man to do something very great, though he had no idea what that was going to be. You know where it started at? With a mom and a grandma teaching this little boy about the Scriptures. That's where it started. You might not think you're doing a very good job, or you might think I don't know if I can do this, or you might not think, well, I'm not doing very much as a mom or a grandma or whatever you might think yourself in life. But think about this. If you've got children, the greatest responsibility that you have in your life are those children, my friend. Those are your greatest responsibilities. Teach them the Word of God. People say, you're sheltering your children. You're holding them back. You're not letting them get out in the world. I say, you know what? You're exactly right. I am sheltering my children. And I'm going to shelter my children. Do you think it would be wise for me to send my kids out into the wolf pack? No way. I'm not going to send my kids out into a den of lions or into a den of wolves. That's exactly what Jacob did. Jacob allowed his daughter, Dinah, to go out and to have friends with the Canaanites. And guess what? She ended up getting raped. You ever seen the statistics on how many young girls are raped at college campuses all across the, and spiritual sexual harassment all across the campuses that are around the United States? How many teenagers, how many young adults actually leave the faith once they're out from underneath being the sheltering baby, being in a public college or something? God didn't call the world to raise my children, and God didn't call the world to raise your children, though they will. Okay? They will raise your children, okay? And they want to. They want to get a hold of your children. Do you realize that I'm worried today, one of the greatest fights that we're coming across today is not the fight of sodomy, is not the fight of alcoholism, it's not the fight of Republican or Democrat. You know the biggest fight that is really on the horizon? One of the biggest fights is this, is that they want to take our children away from us. They don't want our children to be homeschooled. They don't want our children to be in a Christian school. They want to plug it inside them and get them understanding what their philosophies are. They don't want you to tell them that these things are wrong. They don't want you to live that way. The world doesn't. The world wants them to plug it into them. But you realize this, the Bible not only cleans up children and cleans them up and helps them out and walk in a good way, but go in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. Look at this statement right here. I've shared this with some of you, so if I have, bear with me. It is good that I bring you into remembrance, as Peter says. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. This has just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks here lately. It says, now in verse number 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You realize that you are going to get dirty in this world just by sheer contact? You're going to walk into a room and somebody's going to be cussing up a storm. You're going to walk into a place and somebody's going to have some pornography laid out on a table. You're going to walk into a restaurant and something's going to be on a TV that puts a blemish upon your eyes. You're going to go somewhere and do something. Just by the sheer fact of you living in this world, you're going to walk into sin sometimes. Not that you want to sin, not that you're looking for it. It's just going to happen, all right? Why do you think some of you are sick? What's the reason for sickness? What's the reason for the curse? What's the reason for all of this? I'll tell you why. S-I-N, sin. Sin. That's why when we get to heaven one day, there'll be no more sickness, no more death. Why? Because the number one thing won't be there. Sin won't be there. The devil won't be there to tempt us into these ungodly things. But understand this. His word is to be read. Why is the word of God profitable? It will keep us pure. It helps a young man cleanse his ways. But it also, by reading the word of God and by being in the word of God, he says that the word of God, that he wants to sanctify his church by the washing of water by the word. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sin, past, present, and future. Amen. What did Jesus say whenever he was washing Peter's feet? Peter comes up to him, he's going to wash his feet, and Peter says, oh no, not me, my Lord. And he says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. And then he says, hey, wash me all then, right? And he says, Peter, I don't need to wash everything, all right? Here's the deal, my friend, you don't need to be saved again. Sometimes we get worried, am I saved, am I not saved, man? And we get all worried and our assurance goes out the window with this thing. You know what maybe you just need to do? Just find some time to get in the Word of God, and that Word will clean you up, my friend.
It'll get some things out of you that was in you. It will reveal to you some things that you'll say, you know what? Because I'm doing these things, I don't feel saved. Because I'm living this way, I don't feel saved. And the Word of God is profitable. It will show you what is right. It will show you what is wrong. It will show you how to get it right, and it will show you how to keep it right. It will do all of those things in your heart, in your life. Is the Word of God profitable? I'll tell you what, if I've taken a bath in the last week, you'd say, yeah, that's pretty profitable, amen. Profitable for me and profitable for you. I tell you, you don't want me to not be filled with the Spirit. You don't want me to not be in the Word. I don't want you to not be in the Word. I don't want you to not be filled with the Spirit. Because then I might say something to you and you might cuss me out. You might hit me in the face. Heaven forbid, you might take a knife out and stab me. You say, I'd never do such a thing. I tell you what, you better be careful what you would and would not do. Because we're all capable of doing the wrong thing at the wrong time if given the right opportunity. Let us be cleansed by the Word. The Word cleanses us. It helps us along our journey, along our way. And it will make sure that we are clean. Jesus even says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He even says this, ye are clean by the word which I have spoken unto you. The word cleanses. Number two, the word grows us up. Psalm 1 is very easy to understand. It says there in that one psalm, Psalm 1 in verse number 1, says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is such a man. Why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You ever seen a tree that was by a water? By a river? By a small creek? I mean, you can see that same tree, same type of trees, that particular place, and you can see the exact same tree just a tenth of a mile away, and they don't look anything alike. One is huge, majestic, all kinds of fruit and all kinds of leaves and just beautiful, while the other one, just a tenth of a mile away, 100 yards away, just kind of looks bleak and bland. Doesn't look very healthy. I've been in trees. I've seen trees so big that you paddle around them with a canoe, man. Just huge trees, huge cypress trees down on Lake Austin. Beautiful things. A tree that has a constant supply of water is not just going to grow a little by little every single year. It's going to grow into a mighty tree, taller and wider than all the trees around it. And God says that someone that's planted in his word is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're going to grow, my friend. You say, is the word of God profitable? Oh, it's profitable. It'll clean you up. But I'll tell you what also it'll do. It'll grow you up. You know when you find an immature Christian? You don't find an immature Christian so many times that somebody that just got saved, all right? That's not necessarily immature Christian. Immature Christians are people that don't spend time in God's word. And allow God's word to mature them and to make sure that it's getting things out and getting things in. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, hey, Corinthians, wake up. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you something. Wake up. Some of you do not have the knowledge of God. Some of you have not matured to the place that you need to be at. And he says, I speak that to your shame. Hebrews is even a little bit is even a little bit harsher because it says in Hebrews 5:11, of whom many things, I have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then in chapter number 6, he goes on to lay again, talking about those things. He says, we need not lay again these foundations of the gospel and of Christ and the resurrection and of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of repentance from dead works. And he says, if we've got to always be talking about these kinds of things, if you're one that's always got to be reminded of what the gospel is or what repentance is or what baptism really means or what laying on of hands or what the resurrection from the dead is, my friend, you're finding yourself unskillful in the word of God. These are the foundational, base level things. Get past those things. Move on past those things. He was talking about those people that in Sunday school that are in Mexico. I asked him, I said, do they understand the Catholics there? Do they understand the Catholic doctrine? And he said, no, Brother Marquez did. They don't understand the Catholic doctrine. They know the very basic things, and so they're not willing to reason with you. They don't want to talk to you about the Catholic doctrine because they don't know the Catholic doctrine. And I wonder, are we willing to talk to others about our doctrines, about what we believe in? Or would we say, no, I'm not willing because I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't understand it. Let us find some time to get into the Word. We should have a desire to grow, amen? Don't just take that from me, take that from the Word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You ought to grow in the Word. You ought to want to grow in the Word. I never wondered or doubted if Melody ever wanted to be fed, all right? I've never wondered or doubted if any of my children ever, when they were very small, wanted to be fed. They let us know very plain and very clear they want to be fed, all right? If you want to be fed, you'll find a way to be fed. Because if you have so tasted that the Lord is gracious, as he says in verse 3, you'll want to be fed. You'll want to have a desire. You'll want to get in this Word. You'll want to study this Word. You'll want to grow in the Word of God. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you tasted? If you've tasted, then don't you want another taste? Don't you want some more? Don't you want a little bit more? Don't you want to grow a little bit more? Paul says, I have not attained. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he says, I have not attained. Do you want more? Are you satisfied with where you're at? God is telling us the only way to accomplish this growing process, this process that's very profitable for us, is by reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing the Word of God. You say, is growing profitable? Let me ask you a very simple question. If one of your children or one of your grandchildren or somebody you knew that had a child was not growing, would you begin to be worried? You would be concerned. And you would rightfully so be concerned. Then look at your own spiritual life. I'm not judging your life. You judge your own. If you'll judge your own, then no man will judge you. You judge yourself. Examine yourself. Are you growing in your spiritual walk in life with Jesus Christ? I don't care if you've been saved for a year or 50 years. Are you growing somehow, some way in the spiritual journey that God has put you on? Answer that question. We ought to be. We ought to be growing. We ought to be learning. We ought to be finding. You know, one thing that I've done with several of you here is that one thing that we started about a year ago was we started discipling people. And this is a very practical way. And we go through a little book called Continue. And my wife sits down with ladies, I sit down with guys, and we go through this little book of Continue, and we talk about some of these very basic things. I've went through some of this with some of you. I'm going through some of it with some of you right now. But here's the question I have to ask you, is that if you're not for sure, hey, ask me. Hey, we'll set up a time. That's why I'm here. I'm not here just to sit around all day. No, I want to help people out. If you say, I'd like to go through a book like that, talk to me. Ask me. I'd love to do it with you. My wife would love to do that with you. And like some of you, like I said, some of you are sitting right here that have gone through it or are going through it right now, and you've learned some things. Some things have come to your heart again. You've realized these things, or they've even settled in your mind. You want to do something like that? Talk to me. We'll go through it. We'll do it. All right? You'll know. If you want to grow, it will be in there. You'll want to. It will come out of you. You'll be asking for it. Let me say this too with growing, is that some of you here have had so many opportunities to grow. You have had so many opportunities to grow. And I say this, listen to me now, I say this with all love, is that if I were to tell you to turn to the book of Galatians right now or the book of Hosea, it wouldn't matter. You'd find it just like that. You'd find it faster than me. You'd win the sword drill challenge. And you know what? Some of you take that for granted. Because there's some people sitting in this same auditorium with you, maybe right beside you, that if I told them to turn to the Gospel of John, they'd have to look at the table of contents. And that's no shame on anybody that's like that this morning, okay? What I'm saying is this. Don't take for granted what God has allowed for you to grow up in your life. We think sometimes, I want to be like that person, or I want to be like that person, or I think sometimes, as a preacher, sometimes I think, man, I'd like to be more like that church or that church. That seems like they've got a lot of success, and then I talk to somebody from that church over there or this place over there, and I ask them about the Word of God, and they can't even tell me how to be saved. And I asked them, what did the preacher preach on? They said, well, he didn't really use the Bible. He kind of talked about this Vines video and this kind of this things over here. And I'm asking people all around about the Word of God. They go to this church or that church. And my friend, they don't even know the Word of God. You ought to be thankful you're in a church that at least, I may be very inept and I'm not the best orator or anything like that, but at least somehow, some way, we open up the Word of God and we try our best to let you know what the Bible says, all right? And you've got a Bible in your lap, and there's a Bible in every one of those pews for you to pick up. And you know, and that's why some people don't come to Scenic Hills Baptist Church, is because you know when you come to Scenic Hills Baptist Church that the preacher's going to tell you to open up your Bible and turn to this certain page, turn to this certain book. And if you find yourself not here in Alston and somewhere else, and find yourself at some other place in some other church, and the Bible and the preacher ain't telling you to turn to the Bible, to somewhere else, your best bet is to just go ahead, gather up the family, and just go on out, and you find you a place that can preach the Word of God. Amen. Because it's the Word that changes life, my friend. It's not a preacher, and it's not a program, and it's not a band, and it's not a piano, though that's a very nice piano, and I'm very thankful to God for it, and it's not a special, and it's not any of those things, and it's not even a very well, or you know who the man that was saved, that Charles Spurgeon was saved underneath, was a man that was a Sunday school teacher that took his text from the book of Isaiah, and all he could say for the whole entire time was, friend, would you be saved? Friend, would you be saved from the Word of God? From the Word of God, and from that very message, Charles Haddon Spurgeon trusted Christ as Savior and became one of the great pulpiteers of all time, my friend. You don't know what God's going to do with the Word of God, because it is powerful, my friend, and it's eternal, my friend, and it lasts forever, my friend. My grandmother was a weak person. She had no money. She had nothing in her life, but I'll tell you what, one thing she gave me. She gave me the Word of God, and that's eternal, my friend. It's eternal. It's lasted into me to this very day. You might be a mom or a grandma. You might not have very much. You might be a dad that's never been to Bible college. But don't you let any of those things deter you from teaching your children and others around you about the Word of God. Because it is the best thing. It's the most profitable thing. The most successful thing. The most purposeful thing that any one of us can have in our whole entire lives. It's like vitamins. I didn't believe in vitamins. I'm not a vitamin I'm not really a vitamin friendly guy, okay? My wife started shoving vitamins down me when we first got married. I'd never taken a vitamin all my whole entire life, besides one of those little Fred Flintstone things, you know what I mean? It was basically like candy. You know, vitamins, you think, you know, like a vitamin, you think, it's like, it's supposed to, you take it and you're like, man, it's supposed to do something really good for me right now, right? You know? But vitamins don't work like that, all right? Vitamins work in such a way that you take many over a course of years and years, and they help your body through all of that time. They're working in such a way that they're helping you as you move along in life. And so when a sickness, a disease, or something else, you've already, your body is healthy, your body is good, your pancreas or your heart or your liver or whatever it is built up, it's strong, and it can handle, it can fight off some of those things. You know what? The Word of God is just exactly the same way. We want to read the Bible, Brother Marquez. I want to open it up tomorrow morning and be like, I want to open it up and just be like a lightning bolt. Bam! Man, that's what I needed today. Man, God just, it was like God spoke to me from heaven. And man, my wife said, man, your face is glowing. You need to put a veil over that thing like Moses. I mean, that's how I want to be when I read the Word of God, okay? But I'm going to tell you what. And the Word of God, reading the Word of God is not like that every single day. It's like taking vitamins. You get a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and a little bit here. And sometimes you'll get in there and man, bam, there will be a jolt. It'll be like a caffeine burst on you, I'll tell you. But then the next day you read, and you read, and you read, and you read. It's washing you, it's cleaning you. It's growing you. And then when you walk in a room on you're all by yourself and there's a lady that comes in there that's been tempting you to do wrong and nobody else is in the room, and she says, come lie with me. That Word of God has been in that heart right there. And he said, and you look over like Joseph, he said, how can I do this great wickedness in the sight of God? Or when somebody says, hey, you know what? The company's kind of scaling back a little bit, and things aren't really going like we should be going. We're going to have to kind of fudge on these numbers a little bit. No, I don't think so. Count me out. I'm done with this thing. Or when something else pops up in your life, a trial or a tribulation, and the devil starts tapping on your shoulder and says to you like he did to Jairus, why troublest thou the master any further? Why worry? Why keep going to him? He ain't gonna help you. Your daughter's already dead. There's no hope. And Jesus looks at him and says, have faith, only believe. Believe the word. Don't believe the noises and the voices and the people all around you. Don't believe the world. Don't believe those things in your own heart. Don't even trust your own heart. Don't believe the old advice that the world says, hey, follow your heart. That's horrible advice. That's horrible advice. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord knoweth the hearts and trieth the reins. The Lord knoweth the hearts and trieth the reins. That's the next part of verse number 10. He said, we always end with that verse. We always end so discouraged. Oh, I'm never going to know what to do. Well, God knows. God knows your heart. God knows what you need. God knows the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of man is the count of the Lord, searching the most inward parts. God knows what's in the heart. He wants to direct your life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Make sure you're doing God's word, listening to God's word, being the word of God is profitable. I got more points to tell you, but I'm not going to tell them to you, okay? There's a lot more things here. I think you got the message. The Word of God's profitable. It's profitable. I hope that you'll take a hold of that and you'll grow in this Word. And you'll be cleansed by this Word. And you say, I don't know quite how to do it. Then you know what? you would actually do something about that. And you'd grab myself, you'd grab my wife, and you'd say, hey, I want to know some more about God's word. Could you take me through some of that discipleship? Would you go through one of those things with me? I'll go through it. She'll go through it. We'll do that. We'll figure out a time. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable, my friend. Why do I read this book? Why do I keep going through it? It cleanses me. It grows me. If it was just those two things, we could say amen, pack it up, go to the house and say, man, God's word's good. I tell you what, though, there's more than that. It can keep going and going and going. May we see the importance of the word of God. And may we see that it's profitable. May we allow it to cleanse us and to grow us. That we may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, thank you for what you do.